had declared that the wisdom of man was so much more brilliant than the wisdom of God, that the wisdom of God, which declared that Jesus died on the cross, was foolishness. Paul, in referring to this, said that he transferred these things in a figure to himself and Apollos for their sakes, that they might learn through them not to consider anyone more important than they ought to. Not to consider any man worthy of following, but we need to submit to the wisdom of God that has been revealed. He says here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Men for centuries have rejected the wisdom of God and have held that the message about Jesus' death is one of foolishness. It is too incredible, too ridiculous to believe that a man dying on the cross could have any effect to save us from our sins. No, we need to listen to the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of man, in their opinion, is very great and has many things to teach us. So the Apostle Paul was contrasting this in the book of 1 Corinthians and appealing to the brethren there to respect the wisdom of God, to understand that the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of man, and that the wisdom of God has revealed the message of the cross. But what is the message of the cross? In the 15th chapter, Paul gives us a summary of the message of the gospel, the message of the cross. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So indeed, the message of the gospel is very simple. It is a very simple, powerful message that God sent His Son into this earth and allowed Him to die on the cross and be buried, and on the third day He raised Him from the dead. This is the message of the cross. And even though man scoffs at that and man calls it foolishness, to us who are saved, it is the power of God. And what is the message that the cross of Christ reveals to each one of us? Well, first of all, the message of the cross reveals to us the fact that man is a guilty sinner, and that we could not have saved ourselves without Jesus coming to die for our sins. In the book of Romans, we're going to look at several passages tonight in the book of Romans where Paul goes through and lays out God's wisdom in the gospel and showing us how the cross was necessary in the plan of God for our salvation. But in the third chapter, verse 9, he said, "What then? Are we better than they?" He's referring to Jews here. Are we, the Jews, better than they, the Gentiles? Not at all. "For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one." He goes on to quote from the Old Testament in verses 10 through 19. And then he comes back in verses 23 and he makes a summary conclusion. He said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The Scriptures then reveal to us the fact that the Father sent His Son Jesus for the sins of the whole world. Jew, Gentile, bond and free, all of us are in that same category that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why are we guilty of sin? Not because we have inherited that from our parents, but because of the choice that each one of us has made, by which we have chosen to violate the laws of God in one way or another. And therefore we have become sinners of our own choice, not by circumstances beyond our control, not by our inability or imperfection in the way that God created us, but in our own choices we have become sinful. And sin is the transgression of the law of God. So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the message of the cross doesn't stop there. The message of the cross declares that God is just, and that God wants to save us in spite of our sins by providing a solution to that problem. And that solution is found in Jesus, a perfect sacrifice for our sins. He says in Romans 3, continuing with verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that has faith in Jesus. So how can a merciful God, how can a just God be merciful and pass over our sins? Only in one way, by the death of His own Son. The death of Jesus was the solution to the problem that allowed God to be just and us to be forgiven of our sins. Because Jesus was an atonement for sin. Jesus could be a propitiation for sin. The word propitiation means that the death of Jesus and the blood that He shed appeased the wrath of God, which was just against sinners. But by Jesus dying in our place, He was a propitiation, and His death appeased the wrath of God on the behalf of those who would come to Christ through Him. The death of Jesus on our behalf satisfies the just requirement of the law of God against each one of us. The message of the cross, though, in addition to declaring this, that God is just, in Romans 5:18 said, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. So we see from this that the sacrifice that Jesus made would be effective for all men to be able to have a sufficient atonement provided for them for their sins to be appeased and propitiated by the mercy of a just God. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it said that as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. The message of the cross also declared that man cannot save himself apart from this sacrifice that Jesus gave. That it's absolutely necessary for us to avail ourselves of that sacrifice in order for ourselves to be saved. For this point, we turn to Romans chapter 4, where Paul talks about Abraham. He said, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. When Paul talks about Abraham being able to work for wages, he's referring to the fact that if a man rendered perfect obedience to the will of God, he would be justified by his own deeds, by his own actions, by his own life, because he would have no sin. And therefore, he would be paid in wages to be justified. But Abraham did not have that type of perfect life of obedience to offer to God. Abraham had sinned against God, as we all have sinned against God. And therefore, what did God say to Abraham? He said that he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, not that he, by his own works, which were perfect, was able to earn his salvation through his own works. Man cannot, without the sacrifice of Jesus, be justified because we have all sinned. In Romans 8 and verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. The book of Hebrews tells us that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. The law of Moses did not have an adequate solution to the problem of sin. It pointed to the coming of a perfect sacrifice in the person of Jesus. The message of the cross is that Jesus has given that sacrifice. We must accept that sacrifice because without it, we are doomed, left to stand before God in our own sins. The message of the cross then invites men to come to Jesus in order to be saved. Because we see in the cross that the means for our salvation has been provided. God has poured out his Son for us. He has given his Son as a perfect sacrifice on our behalf. It's a universal offering of the death of Jesus. He died for all men, and therefore all men are invited to come. In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, Paul went on to say that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. God's choice for us to be saved was not limited to some, as there have been those who have taught that, Augustine and later John Calvin and others like that, have suggested that God in the beginning chose a limited number to be saved, and that Jesus only died for the elect. But we find that God provided a universal sacrifice, and he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So therefore, it is an invitation for all men to come to Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The message of the cross then invites all men to come to Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Next, the message of the cross displays, though, the love that God has for us. It invites us to come to him on the basis of God's love. Romans 5, 6 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God reveals His love then for us, that He loved us even before the beginning of the world. Before we ever existed, God loved each one of us so much that He provided a plan for our salvation. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love, and that this love was manifested through Jesus on our behalf. He says in 1 John 4 and verse 9, "In this the love of God was manifested to us, toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So it shows His love, how great the love of God is on our behalf. Jesus said, "Greater love that has no man than a man would lay down his life for his friends." Jesus loves us and gave His life on our behalf. And it's that love that draws us to the cross and draws us to God, where we can be saved. But then the message of the cross urges us to put our trust in Jesus and to obey Him in order to receive the benefits of His death on our behalf. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 3, He says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And then in verse 17, He said, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." The fact that we were not able to save ourselves means that we must look to Christ in order to be saved. We must be willing to accept the sacrifice that He has provided. But how do we do that? How do we accept that sacrifice that was provided on our behalf? We do that by trusting in Jesus and by obeying the simple commandments that He has given to us. The Bible said that He is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. And He saves the repentant believer when he is baptized into Christ. Jesus said in Mark, the 16th chapter, in the Great Commission, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." In Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20, He said there, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the world." On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching to 3,000 that had seen the Holy Spirit come upon the apostles and heard them speaking in tongues, he declared to them that Jesus was now ascended into heaven, that He was made Lord in Christ. And when they heard this, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." We are trusting in Jesus Christ then, not the water. We're not trusting in the water. We're not trusting in our own obedience. We're not trusting in any man and what that person says or is able to do on our behalf. We're trusting in Christ. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose the third day. We are commanded to trust in Christ, to be buried and to be raised up to newness of life. We do that when we are baptized into Christ. We allow God to work His power upon us in that act of submission to the will of God. In Colossians chapter 2, He said in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So our obedience to Christ is completed through the act of submitting to Christ in baptism, following our belief and our based upon our faith and based upon our repentance, we submit to Jesus in baptism. And as a result of that, we are able to have the confidence of the final part of God's message, that the message of the cross gives us the hope of eternal life. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." And then in Romans 8 and verse 11, he said, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will raise, give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." So the message of the cross tonight is, my friends, that we are guilty sinners before God. But God is a just God who loves each one of us and has revealed that we cannot save ourselves, but on our behalf he has allowed his Son to die for our sins, a perfect sacrifice. And he therefore invites us to come to Christ, to put our faith in Christ because of the love of God that was shown on our behalf, inviting and urging us to trust and obey Jesus in baptism, in faith and repentance and baptism, promising that we would thereby be given the hope of eternal life. So that is the message of the cross. The world declares this to be foolishness, but those of us who are saved, it is the power of God by which we are able to have the forgiveness of our sins and the hope of eternal life. If we're here tonight and need to respond to the gospel message, we're going to stand and sing the invitation, and we invite anyone who is here who needs to respond to do that tonight to come forward as we stand together and sing the invitation song.
There is beyond the ever blue.